Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Night Court. I'm Rob Fisher. Brevin Knight is alongside, and this is a little weird. This is our first podcast that we've ever done inside. First one.
Well, other than when we had our guests. We did our guest in Portland.
Portland, at the hotel.
At the hotel, but we had an audience. But we did the playoffs in the hotel room, too.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it is our first time at home.
At home, being inside.
Where we can't use our normal studio.
Yeah,
on the road, it's hard to get into a studio mode. But here at home, we normally have our outdoor studio to be in. But today, the weather is just not cooperating.
Dicey weather, wet furniture. It's windy. The chimes are crazy. So
we don't want to chime anyone out.
No, so we decided that we would be indoors today. Thanks for joining us. Glad you're with us here on Night Court. We're going to talk a lot of Grizz. We got a lot of things to get into that we will, and we'll whip around the NBA as well, look at some of the teams that the Grizzlies have been playing here in the last couple of weeks. And Brevin, first of all, the Grizzlies are 3-10, coming off a heartbreaking loss to the Boston Celtics, a game in which they played so hard, played so well against one of the best teams in all of the NBA that it was a tough post game to do, because you're like, you want to live by there are no moral victories, but damn, that one you're proud of the team and you feel for the team because you know that how much it hurts them not getting a different outcome.
Yeah, and I was going to say, that was the biggest thing. It hurt because they had played so well, and they had a real opportunity to win that basketball game. But you give credit to them, and hopefully they're starting to understand how to play without Ja, without Steven, without Brandon Clark. And we talked about guys were going to have major roles on this team that didn't have major roles. And so there was going to be a little bit of an adjustment period for everyone, from players to coaches to everyone. And so I think you're starting to see the adjustment being made, and just that getting back to just playing hard no matter what. And I think that's what we've seen from this team in the last couple of games, aside from the Lakers game, that when things haven't gone well, they haven't hung their heads, they've continued to just play harder and usually turn out with a positive outcome in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, really all season, the Lakers game and the game in Salt Lake City are the only two that, you know, you were waxed early and it was over. But, you know, all the other ones have been great fight. Now, you hate to hang your hat on good fighting.
Yeah, moral victories don't pay the bills.
So let's get to the reality of the situation, as the Grizzlies are 3-10. And, you know, Ja will be back in 12 games. I would say you got to start winning some games. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't dig too big of a hole. You're already about there. You went 3-3 before the Boston game in a 6-game span. I think 3-3 in this span is a good goal. And then the next 6 games, 3-3 again. If you can do that, I think that would be survival through all of this.
Yeah, and what you look at is where the 10th seeded team is in the Western Conference is what you're paying attention to at this point. And right now they're 2.5 games out of 10th. And you if you can win 6 of these next 12, if you can go 500, then that puts you in a fighting position to make a run at that 10th spot. That's how much of a difference we all know Ja Morant will make on this team, just with his individual talent, but then what it does in terms of everyone else being able to be better.
Two things I got to say. I got to interrupt you real quick.
Go ahead.
You looked like you were about to continue.
Mm-mm.
Okay. One, today on Twitter, I'm just flipping through my timeline, and I saw one that said something like a timeline of Ja Morant, and it showed the night that he was drafted, and then it went into highlights from his entire career. And all I could think of to myself was, damn, I didn't remember how good this guy was. I can't wait. I mean, I just watching that video made me remember every single night we'd see something that you've just not seen before. And look in amazement at things that he can do. And I'm not talking about just the dunks. I'm talking about the layups, the changing of direction, the cross-court passes, the long bounce passes. I mean, just everything that's in his repertoire. And thinking of those things, and it's like, wow, I really miss it. And now I can't wait for Ja to get back.
I mean, we all miss it. And, yeah. And a lot of that is a direct reason why this team has been successful.
Yeah.
It has been because of what his talents are. And that's what happens with star players. And so he's going to make a tremendous difference in the team. And the thing is, he's going to be 25 games fresher than everyone else that has played.
Right.
So hopefully that's something that he can carry throughout the season. Of course, we know you're not going to come back and play the 30 minutes maybe right away, but as the season goes along, maybe every game we're able to see him be able to play the extended time because he's had these months to get himself ready. But everyone else in the interim has played better, which will in turn makes you be a lot more optimistic for what can happen when he comes back, because he's not going to change it just by himself. These guys were going to have to find their strides also,
right?
Because you're talking about making up, you're going to have winning streaks in order for them to reach the goal that they will ultimately want to get at. And so it's been nice to see the competitive nature be there and the extended time that they've been able to compete.
I would imagine most of your career, maybe with the exception of when you first came into the league, you knew your role, you knew your playing time, night in and night out. These are a bunch of guys who don't know that, night in and night out, if everybody's healthy and everybody's there. When given that opportunity, what does that do for a player as far as, you know, when you hear that or you see that of, I'm going to get this opportunity, what do you think that does to a player's mind?
It puts you at ease. We just watched Santi Aldama shoot 27 shots. you feel me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It puts you in a place where, this is me playing back in Spain. You know what I'm saying? I'm the man.
Right.
And when you are just in your role, then it's going to be a certain amount of shots you're going to take. The ball is going to come to you at a certain point. You're going to be expected to make sure that the guys that are higher than you in the pecking order, they get set up, and then you eat off of what they don't get. Well, at these moments, for a lot of these guys, there's nobody else for y'all to go to. So I have the opportunity now to just play free basketball. And it's nice to see guys, when given that opportunity, make the most of it. Mm-hmm. And we say it's been from Santi taking advantage of it, Zaire has been better in the last couple of games. The bench, Roddy hadn't made shots, but his activity, the rebounding that he's able to give, even the drive still, the hard drives to the basket, that either force defenders, kick outs, or the shot someone tries to block an offensive rebound. I just think that every Gilliard has been a revelation, because we really needed ball handling once Derrick Rose was down. Marcus Smart now goes, so he's been good, and he's made shots. And big shots for this team. And so it's been good to see all of these guys, when given that chance, they've made the most of it.
Yeah, you were talking about the standings, and I was going to say last night, or not last night, it was after, who'd we beat?
We beat the San Antonio.
Yeah, after we beat San Antonio. That was the first time this season I looked at the standings. Because when you're 0-6, you pretty much know how the standings look. So I wanted to see at 3-9 where it was. I was surprised to learn that the Grizzlies were ahead of two teams.
Yes.
That was surprising. And then I was surprised to learn at the time, Grizzlies were only two back of that 10 spot and four back of the 6 spot.
Yep.
And I thought, wow, it's still so early that why does it feel that it's unattainable? Because it shouldn't, because it is still so early. The thing is, the Grizzlies can easily climb back, as long as you can't just keep playing at a 3-9 pace.
No.
You play at a 3-9 pace, you're never going to leave where you're at. You're going to be at the bottom. But, like I said, 3-3 in the previous 6 games, if you can do that, 3-3, you'll climb on the teams ahead of you, because they're not 500 teams. And they'll stay around 500. So It's just, it's to me, it's it feels like it's the same thing it was before the season. Stay above water until Ja gets back.
I mean, that's what all teams are saying when your number one guy is down. Is how long can you hold out till he gets back? But I go back to, you can say that, but your other guys still have to get better in the interim.
Yeah.
And I think our guys are getting better in the interim.
And losing Marcus Smart certainly hurt as well, as he's out 3 to 5 weeks. But maybe his return coincides with Ja's return. And things, as Jaren Jackson Jr. told me the other night, get scary.
Listen, when it turns.
When it turns.
It's going to be scary.
Tough one for the Grizzlies, but they did win two of three on the road trip, which was good to see.
Oh, one other thing about the game versus Celtics.
Yeah.
The fans were fantastic. Oh, because the one thing we worried about was like, oh, is this going to be like back in the day when the other team has so many of their fans in our building? And of course, these historic teams in terms of Celtics and Lakers, Knicks, those teams always, there's always going to be those fan bases. The Warriors now at this point, you understand. Yeah. It is what it is. But to hear those Grizzlies fans just drown out anything from Celtics fans was really fun. It was a fun atmosphere. It was fantastic.
Everything but the outcome.
Ugh.
How was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
It was great. But the outcome. Listen, the other thing was, there was a guy, so we have our studio. You know, in our studio, I probably shouldn't say this. In our studio, we look into the store now, and so into the team store, and it's wide open. Usually the fans were just behind us, but now we can see them. And there was a dude with a Celtics jersey that was in the inside and was on the other side, and while we were doing the post-game show, kept like flat doing his jersey towards us. Mm-hmm. And it took everything for me to not throw my water bottle at him.
Oh.
Like it was like I still felt like in that moment, it was like, it was the fan side of me that was almost coming out other than the working side. And I was just like, that's how intense that game was.
It was.
How about for game 13?
Yeah, game 13. With at times, a G League lineup on the floor. At one time, the Grizzlies started the fourth quarter with two-way players.
Yes.
And Jacob Gilliard, who was just signed as emergency, basically. Yes. And started the fourth quarter with that. And we've probably never mentioned him on the show. Shout out Vince Williams.
Vince Williams.
Right?
Look, and hear me say this much. I talked to Vince Williams probably as much as anyone. Because when we do the handshake before the game, if I ever miss him, he always comes up to me. He's like, "Well, why you miss me on the handshake?" So then we got to talk, and so just to see how long he has just worked, sat and waited, and they called him last night, and man, he made play big threes, the huge block on the transition with Derek White. He makes the block without fouling. It was the energy that they needed at that moment. And his length was good for this team to have on the floor.
Yeah, it was cool. Another win that I want to talk about, the win over the Clippers. Boy, they are just so not... they were almost unwatchable.
It was literally like it was four guys and the other guys on the team, and everybody's like, well, what are we doing? Like, why do we make this deal?
It was weird.
It was like watching it. There was no flow to there. There was no playing with one another. Mm-mm. There was no real interaction with one another.
No.
It was just, you look out there and like, man, they got some talented guys. Like those four guys, there's no denying their talent, but like, how does it all work?
Right. It was bizarre watching the Clippers play. Lakers, they're pretty good.
It's because LeBron James is damn good.
Well, when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis playing, they're really good. When you don't, they're not as good.
When you don't have Anthony Davis playing, you still got a chance to win. When you don't got LeBron playing, then you don't know what's going to happen. It's still that way. I don't care how old he is, what year, try to pass the mantle. It still comes down to him.
Yeah. The Spurs, we saw Wemby. For the first time, What was your impression? Other than
the circus dude on stilts is what I'd say what he looks like.
We walked out of dinner before the game, and he was warming up at the far free throw line at the other end of the floor. And we come walking out, and I mean, we both stopped and just kind of looked at each other laughing because it is in person, up close. You described it exactly because he's got his warm-up pants on.
Yes.
He looks like a person on stilts.
Yes. I mean, and the reason why he said it is his waistline is so high.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I believe if I was to get next to him, I would be at his waistline.
Yeah.
And then the reach is what people don't, like, you don't, I don't think, you don't realize how long he is. And he does a good job at a young age in terms of the timing of blocking shots. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't jump early. I mean, he may be able to get him for pump fakes depending on how you go. But he timed 8 blocks. I think
yeah,
8 blocks against us. So he's no denying his talent. He'll have to learn how to use that height because he did so much stuff on the perimeter. That's not really using his height as much as they may have liked, but whew, you're talking about a freak of nature with just what he is physically, but then just his skills and his abilities are off the chart.
I thought it was pretty interesting. Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches of all time, when asked about coaching Wemby, he said, "I don't want to follow a roadmap because there is none."
Right.
So, I mean, how? I guess it's just something you figure it out. Where is he best on the floor? Where is he best?
Yeah, because he's not that physical, so it's not. I wasn't saying that's not a complaint. I'm just saying it.
Right. Well, he's 19.
At this point, it works to everyone else's favor that he hasn't learned how to use that size and length, and his teammates haven't learned how to use it physically. Of course, the closer he gets in, the more physical people can be with him.
Yeah.
So, of course, just naturally playing out on the floor where he can use his length, use angles, use those things instead of having to be in combat. It's more comfortable to do that, and he's skilled to do it. I'm not
right.
It's not a knock at all, it's just easier to guard him when he's away from the basket than as he works himself anywhere near the basket.
Sure. And certainly you'd prefer him shooting threes, even though he can knock them down.
I mean, yes. because as we saw last night, we're doing this the day after the Celtics game with Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he was physical and he was towards the basket, when he turned to shoot, it was nothing that guys could do.
Yeah.
I mean, Desmond Bane was doing his best, jump. He still just looks right over the top and shoots. So I was saying, the closer they are to the basket, it makes it that much harder for you to defend and stop the shot. But it also is a lot more of a physical game for the offensive guy.
Well, in the game everybody wants to talk about with Wemby is the Phoenix game. And I did see that game when San Antonio played Phoenix. And just to see how special he was, you saw it that night against the Phoenix Suns. So you know what he's capable of doing. And hell, his numbers are still unbelievable this year, averaging close to 20 points a game. And so he's pretty special to watch. It was cool to get our first look at him on that road trip as well. Who else did we see? Well, we saw the Jazz. We already talked about the Jazz. And the Heat.
The Heat are just one of those teams.
Do they care?
That's what I said. They're just at the end of the season. Where are they? Yeah. That's you know what I mean? And they know how to win. Like, Eric Spoelstra knows how to coach winning basketball. They have winning players on their team. They're a team. Then talk to me after All-Star somewhere in mid-March that we'll talk about them.
Yeah. All right. Looking at the standings, we got, I'm trying to get there. Denver's up at the top. Or no, Minnesota's up at the top.
Hold on.
What? Minnesota?
Man, I told you that kid is absolutely special that they have.
He's unbelievable.
He is.
Go Dogs.
He is, how you put it, top three in the league capabilities.
Wow.
As you move forward. When you start, as you start, you know, LeBron moves off, he becomes, as Steph and these guys, he becomes the next wave. I mean, Anthony Edwards is absolutely special.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. So what do they got to do to you know, get over that hump, get rid of Cap?
I mean, eventually, I think ultimately, just because you have the star on the outside. All right, we talked about this before. When you're the guy that's supposed to change, it doesn't change, and the next guy comes, are you willing to take the back seat, or you want to? You still feel like I can do it? And I think he's always going to feel like I can do it, but you also, as the business side of it is, what can you get for him to help the guy that's a bona fide, you know, is going to be your guy moving forward for years to come? What other pieces can be put around him to make it better? And you have a piece that can get you other pieces to help. And so it is, that's just the business of basketball.
Yeah. So Denver second, right? No, Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
What?
Ooh, yes. You gotta watch these young dudes play, man. And another person who a lot of people don't know or talk about is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Well, we got some guards that's playing in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Like, we know how great Ja Morant. Just think about these guys. Ja Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, De'Aaron Fox, Halliburton in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Brunson, what he does in New York. I mean, you can go keep going down the list of these exciting young guards that are doing wonders for their team. But they have the Oklahoma City thing is, remember we made so much fun of Oklahoma City because they had, like, damn, how many picks are you going to keep getting? Right. And how long are you going to keep playing all these young dudes? Well, shit. These young dudes have turned the page. And because the Jalen Williams kid played, when I think he may be hurt. I think he was out. But when he plays, we don't talk about Giddy. Chet Holmgren now is healthy and playing. I mean, they're a fun young team to watch.
Houston Rockets a little surprising at 6-5. We got them next. Dylan's
playing fantastic, and Fred VanVleet is just being a point guard for them. I think he had 15 or 16 assists the other night. But when they need him to be scoring VanVleet, he still has it. And so it's for them. It allows Jalen Green, another team that had young talent, and then they had the kid from Auburn. I always forget his name. The 6'10", the kid they just drafted last year.
Yeah.
I forget his name. Shingun on the inside. They got some vets. They got our buddies down there. Old Jeff Green. He's in another winning situation for him. Just loves basketball. So the combination of youth and vets is nice. And then Ime Udoka is one of the up and coming coaches in our game.
Yeah. Golden State, the other surprise, they're 6-8, and Draymond's out for 5 games for his stranglehold on Rudy Gobert.
Which was dumb.
Give Pat Beverly credit, who said 100%. He was in the perfect position to do what everyone else wants to do.
But it was like no fighting that, man. Like, it was no, you can't try to argue that. No one, I'm not trying to listen to any argument for that. But he also said Carl Anthony Towns was wrong and not doing anything.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. I was like, bro.
Yeah.
You and it was somebody else was standing next to him that was, and neither one of them did anything to get him off of.
What's Carl Anthony Towns going to do? Come on. Tissue soft.
Well, the Warriors, I think the Warriors may be another one of those teams that you try to say wait down the road, but I don't know if this is going to be, I think, something that's hard for them. If Wiggins doesn't get back to Wiggins of old, if the young kid, what's the young jumping kid from Arizona?
For who?
From Golden State.
For Golden from State. From Arizona.
Number zero, I think it's zero. You know I'm bad with names.
I don't know.
But him, if he doesn't.
I don't pay attention.
I pay attention enough to know about. Why can't I remember his name? I can't get Kalina Azubuki's name out of my head to save my life, you know, when I'm trying to say this kid's name.
Not Kuminga.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's it. Kalina. That's why I couldn't get it out. Kuminga.
There you go.
For him to continue to grow, and I'm gonna be honest, another trade. I don't know why the Clippers did the James Harden thing. To me, that made no sense. And the Chris Paul to Golden State, I don't know how that really helps what Golden State does, because now you're just super duper small on the floor with trying to play him and Steph Curry together for extended minutes. And yes, he is not because of the skill, what he can do. I didn't think that he was what was going to make the difference for them.
Yeah. All right. There you go. There you have it. Some NBA whip around.
You ain't talking about the Kings, man. It said De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of where they're supposed to be.
They're good.
They're good?
Hell yeah, they're good. Okay. That's another high-octane scoring team. Malik Monk's found a home.
But they should be good. They were third in the West last year.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're going to be good. Phoenix should be good, too. And they're down at the bottom somewhere. The Clippers should be good, too.
Yeah, Bradley Beal's been hurt.
Yeah, but the Clippers, they're down with us.
Yeah, that's the thing.
One game, one more win than we have, the Clippers.
Yeah.
With all that stuff, they got one more win than we have.
Yeah, I mean, that's the positive. And all these numbers that keep coming out about teams that start whatever, how many make the playoffs, there never was the play-in in that situation either.
That's why I said, for this team, it went from, of course, early on, it was like, all right, we can still stay in the top six until John gets back. We'll win. And then when the dominoes kept just falling and falling, then you had to be realistic about what this team was capable of doing for the regular season with everything that went on. And to me, the realistic thing was looking at 10 and realizing how do you just make it into the play-in. And then hopefully you're playing at your best basketball, and then you let the chips fall where they may.
There's a big football game tonight on this Monday night as we record Kansas City and Philadelphia. You might be listening after the game's over. We're not really previewing the game, but Brevin, your thoughts on Taylor Swift's parents are going to meet Travis Kelce's parents at the game, man.
You already know how I feel about it, man. I don't know why you keep bringing it up. It's an absolute joke, though. Like, if it wasn't a publicity stunt, why would your parents meet somewhere else? Just regular. Like, let's come to the
dinner?
House. Yeah, like, we'll go to dinner tonight and meet. Well, and why does it have to be news that they're going to meet each other? Who told the news that, hey, guess what? My mom and dad are coming, and his parents, and they've never met, and they're going to meet for the first time. That's a joke.
I can't wait to hear Joe Buck during the game because he's kind of a snarky comedian himself.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. Like, I'm not going to watch it for the game.
Yeah.
I just want it for the commentary.
Absolutely. Absolutely going to need that tonight. All right. I guess that's it. That's all I got. There isn't any more.
Yeah, there is something. I wanted to ask you, is being a sideline reporter extraordinaire?
Thank you.
How did you feel about the Carissa Thompson report?
The story. It was terrible.
Should I get a background? Do you have to get a background of the story? Probably in some way. Just a quick.
Well, she got
quick snippet.
She did an interview basically saying that she, as a sideline reporter early in her career, that she used to lie about the reports. And, you know, when they'd say she talked to the coach and she'd lie about a report. Now,
Just for a side, y'all heard her shaking up. That was me drinking my Kool-Aid.
That's right.
I love Kool-Aid.
That's right. That's right. So she apparently lied about her sideline reports, which is, you know, that's terrible for sideline reporters and to have that and act like it's not a big deal, which she did. Now, the biggest problem I have is it's the second time she had done it. And when she said it, she prefaced it by saying, I've said this before and didn't get fired. So, and she just thought it was funny. Now, her response to it by saying that she didn't necessarily make up the reports, but she had to have a report that she would talk about, but she never attributed to coaches, we have to do that at times where it's like you come to me and what I'm supposed to have isn't there. So I have to come up with something else. And you give out statistics or so.
But you still give something that's real.
But you give something that's real. So you're not lying. So for her to, I don't know if I buy her retraction. But regardless of what it did, it was horrible for sideline reporters. Because I think in my estimation, sideline reporters by snotty media get a reputation of what worth do they have. And I try my best every night to give something that, you know, a viewer can't get, you know, something from the huddle, something from a timeout, and give you something that's, you know, strategy or whatever. that you can't get just watching the game. And so I work really hard at it, and I know all sideline reporters work hard at it. And so I think that's what hurt me the most. I was disappointed that so many sideline reporters had to come out defend themselves, yes, because I don't think they need to defend themselves because they all do a great job. Lisa Salters, I hate that she had to do this.
Right, and I hate that for women, that it was something that you can get some, excuse my language, assholes to say, well, it's why they got the job anyways, because of how they look.
Yeah.
And I hate that. It's like, well, no, we'll see. Look, they don't even make it. It gives someone to just for their wrong thinking to make an example of something that, as you say, is not true across the board. And for those that work with sideline reporters, it is so much of an added value to what we do, because all we talk about is just the game. Like, I don't do a lot of what else is going on, these other stories. It's not what I'm going to do. And so to add a element of it brings some humanity to the game in a lot of ways. And that inside info you want to have right now, not later on after, but that in the game, in the moment, is what y'all provide. So hopefully it's something that people don't see as this is how the job is done. It's in no way, shape, or form is that's how it's done.
Yeah. So it was, I agree with you. I think it was bad for women for sure. And I know one sideline reporter said, you know, she tweeted out, as a sideline reporter, you know, we mostly have a reputation as being eye candy, which I responded, well, of course we do.
I hate when they sexualize you. So,
but I do want to remind everyone that there are some men left in the business of being sideline reporters. There are some of us out here. Don't forget us.
Making a living.
Man. So we're working hard too.
And we're handsome.
Yeah, and we're handsome. Eye candy. But but shout out to all the sideline reporters out there. There are so many great ones in the business, men and women. And you know, and it's just unfortunate that
cast a shadow. Just put a little shadow.
Yeah, it was just talked about in such a flippant way that it was that made it really disappointing. All right. Well, thanks for asking, BK. Appreciate it.
I don't get to do that too often. So it was good for me to put on a question.
Yeah, and good to talk about it. Yeah, I haven't talked about it.
Oh, well, that's good.
Because I didn't know what to tweet.
You never know. Because you know, I'm gonna tell you as much in words. People can take their own context from your words.
Yeah, that's good. Pete's defending me on Twitter, so it's good.
Whenever Pete's out, then hey, we're good.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on this edition of Night Court. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back again next week. Go Grizz. Let's go 3-3 in these six. Started 0-1, though, so we got to go 3-5.
All right.
Or 3-2, I mean, in the next five.
Houston would be a very good test.
Yeah.
And not just because they're a team, haven't had a lot of success winning in Houston.
Now, I'll leave with this. I know it's very difficult to ask this of a team, but if they can play with the same effort that they gave for Saturday night and Sunday night in San Antonio and Boston, they're going to win their share of games.
Yes, they will.
The results, they'll be satisfied with the result in the end.
And the thing is, I think they're getting a lot more comfortable playing in these end-of-game situations. The more that they're in close games, the more comfortable you get with the shots. Know what else I say? You get comfortable with missing the shots.
Yeah.
Because that's as much a part of being successful in end of games.
Yeah, so I'm feeling more positive than I did even a week ago with this team. So go Grizz. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in again next week here on Night Court. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, the family. Tell them all to tune in and listen to Night Court and subscribe and all that good stuff. For BK, I'm Fish. Thank you so much for joining us here on Night Court. We'll talk to you again next week.
Peace.